comes down to us as we are open to leading of your spirit tonight. Thank you for the written word. Thank you for revelation that comes from the written word. Thank you, our Father. Let the eye be open to your word and your light tonight. Let your heart be established in your truth tonight in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 5:7, you and me in the school of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. I hope you've been learning something. Very simple. Is it very simple? Very simple. And that's the essence of you and me in the school of faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The emphasis of faith in the epistles is more on our lifestyle than actions of miracles. There are miracles in faith, but it's taught more in our lifestyle. Remember, someone used to say this, that faith is not a spare tire. Faith is not an emergency pill. Faith is not a drug you take when there's trouble. Faith is the wheel and the steering and the engine of the car. Faith itself is our lifestyle. So we mustn't be learning faith or thinking faith because there's a problem. Faith should be our lifestyle. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, we started to look at some facts about faith. Now, go to Matthew 17. I've got some thoughts I want us to pay attention to tonight. In fact, tonight's teaching, I have something I wanted to share, but early in the morning, about 3 a.m. or so, a pastor from Southern Africa, he got me talking along these lanes, and we spoke so well, and I thought, well, that's interesting. He said he's teaching faith in South Africa, that he got a series of faith walks, and he's teaching on that, so he had questions. So I said, what he was saying is something I want to share later, but I think what we said, I said, I'll probably go share that today. Very practical things about faith. So look at Matthew 17. And Jesus said unto them, this happened after, Jesus had a style in the four Gospels where he would expand the horizon of the questions and he would bring in the truth, because oftentimes he was the one who created the questions on the hearts of the people who asked the questions. Now, when Nicodemus said, thou art a teacher come from God, no man doeth this miracles except God be with him, he didn't say, well, great, God is with me. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, that's like expanding the horizon of what Nicodemus said. And so, in this instance, there was a casting out of demons that happened. A woman brought the child to Jesus' disciples, Matthew 17. And he brought his child and said the child was oppressed of the devil. The disciples couldn't cast the demon out. And Jesus now called them, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him hither to me and cast out the demon. Then he said, in 20, because of your unbelief. They asked, why couldn't we cast the demon out? He said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, now notice he didn't say because of unbelief. He said because of your unbelief. And that has to do with the fact that they were disciples. Your unbelief. And he says, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's quite serious. You know, he said if you have faith, just like seeing if you have faith at all. Because mustard seed faith is not something you're going to see. If you have faith, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So, Jesus is saying here that the size of faith is not the issue. Faith at all will move any mountain. So the size of faith, that you don't pay attention to whether you have enough faith. I've seen Christians say, I don't think I have enough faith. He said, that's not the point. He said, if you have faith as a seed. Now, Jesus had to use his words because they're just available. He uses words because he wants us to learn something from what he said. So he's saying here, if you have faith as a seed. So it's saying faith can walk like a seed. Praise the Lord. Faith can walk like a seed. You know, we said, how does the word work? Because we said, faith begins where the will of God is known. So, how does the word work? We also found out, the word also works like a seed. Mark 4, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a man. That word, kingdom of God, is the word basileia. In the Greek, it means influence. Basically, authority and influence. Mark 4. It says in Mark 4, 14, it says, the sower soweth the word. But in 20, it says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, it shows us something by that principle. It says, first, the man should rise. It says, sleep and rise and day and night and day. And the seed shall spring up and grow. You know it not how. Look at 28. It says, and the earth brings forth fruit of itself. First the blade, then the air, after that the full corn in the air. That is, the kingdom of God therefore grows in influence. It says, the kingdom works like a seed. When you plant it, you have it grow in gradual possession. So the point here is this, and what he says in Matthew 7 is, you use faith. Just use faith. Kingdom is like, okay, see, faith is like a seed. And we, you know, we said that if you have a bag of seed, even if it's 600 million bags of seed, it's useless until it is planted. So, while you're trying to wonder whether you have enough faith, you should say, have I used faith at all? Because the issue is not the size of faith, Matthew 17. The issue is how to use your faith. So, there? Are you listening? The issue is not faith, but how to use your faith. We said, the word does not work until the word is planted. The word doesn't work until the word works. Is that clear? The word doesn't work until the word works. So, you didn't say, have I used my faith? And we said, no matter how much faith you have, no matter how much power you have, if you have not used it, it's not being used. So, sometimes, while we ought to learn how to use faith, or how the word works, we're learning how magnificent faith is. Brother Hagin said, he went for a meeting, and the man told them the great things faith does. He said, the man said, great things. He spent 1 hour, and then he said, praise the Lord. And he ended the meeting. That has no use for anybody. Hey, how does it work? How does it work? How does faith work? How does the word work? Where does the word work? Praise the Lord. So, we have to use it. So, last week, we began to look at how do you receive the word? How do you receive the word? That's very important. How do I receive the word? You know, I tell people all the time that something as simple as handling the phone call in a service is enough to stop the word from working. You know, there was a story. Jesus went to the house of Martha, and she had a sister called Mary. And Jesus, you think that Jesus is in the house, and then she gets up. She's excited about seeing Jesus. And she says, what do I give this great man of God? And so she goes to the kitchen. She gets the microwave on. She begins to bake the bread of life for Jesus. And she's so excited about it. But Martha, Mary stays to listen. And Jesus brings out a very vital truth there. He said, you know, Martha was angry. So she said, hey, Mary. You know, she said, Mary, can't you come and help me out in the kitchen? You know, by the time she says that before Jesus, naturally, today, Jesus would have said, not Jesus now, a human being, normal person would have said, oh, sorry for that, Martha. Hey, Mary, you go out and help your sister out. And Jesus says, he tells him, Martha, I would think that Jesus must have been hungry or something. He just said, Martha, Martha. He says, why are you troubled about many things? Like I said, Jesus always expands the issue. All I said about many things. Well, maybe many things, but Jesus knows she will, when women want to cook for their pastor or their husband, particularly before they marry your husband to be, or when they just got married, they will have many things to cook. There are many things. Maggie, you see Maggie? Maggie, Margaret. You know, I remember one lady was called Maggie, and I felt it was still abusing her because I felt, why would they use a seasoning to name you? She said, no, the name is Margaret. Oh, I said, fine. So she goes for many things. So maybe Jesus said, why are you talking about many things? Just use salt. No, he didn't say that. He says, why are you troubled about many things? He said, your sister, Mary, has chosen the good. He said, one thing is missing. One thing. So I say one thing. Sometimes we think it takes a lot to grow spiritually. You do so many things. Say one thing. Just one thing. Early in life, I learned the art of understanding is to listen. A bad listener hardly understands anything. Are you still there? You know, in communication, a basic fundamental law of communication is you don't listen to reply. You listen to understand. Oftentimes, if we listen well, we may even not see, we may not say anything at all. We don't listen. So he says, one thing she has chosen to do, this part, it shall not be taken away from her. What did she do? She sat there and listened. You know, she could have said, I've been through all of Jesus' meetings. So what's he going to say newly? But every time you listen, you deepen your understanding of whatever subject it is. One thing is needful. Listen. So, she listens. And that's key. So, in receiving the word, let me refresh your memory. We said the word walks in four ways. We looked at four things. So, number one, the word walks as what? As what? As seed. So if it works as a seed, that means it must be planted. And planted where? In the soil. Watch this now. And the soil refers to what? The human heart. The word doesn't work as you heard it. The word works because it's on your heart. The word doesn't even work because you wrote it down. You know, a brother told me, he said, at the workers' convention, he said, I want to ask you a question, sir. He said, well, my style... This is what he said. He said, my style is to listen. He said, but when I was listening, Pastor Ayo told me that I wasn't taking notes. So I said, well, brother, I think you're right. That's your style. But it's Bible style. I said, notice something. The most brilliant of students in the world, this is scientific and it's just normal. hardly can retain 50% of what he has. The most brilliant of students. See, you know why you write it down? Say, why? Because when you're writing down, you're actually also understanding what you're listening to. And then when you get home, you can refer to it again. Because truth that is lost cannot be used. Still there? Sometimes, it's even truth within the context of truth. So I said, you need to put it in your heart. Then if you put it in your heart, since it's the soil, it also means, because the word is seed, that means there's a harvest. Right? There's a harvest. It follows the law of seed and harvest. Right? There's a harvest. Now, two, the word works like light. Now, watch it. Because the word is a seed, that means it takes time. It takes time, right? It takes time. Someone told me one time. He said, he was in a meeting, I was preaching. He said, sir, I have never understood the word. This is how I said it. But when I finish this service, I now understand the word. So you are the greatest of all the greatest. I don't understand the word. He said, no, I'm serious, sir. As I have you, because you are the word of life. No man coming to the Father but by me. Interesting. I said, it's not possible. You need to go back and listen again. You know, most of you who are, how many of you notice that you listen to CDs or tapes of meetings you were present, and you feel, when did he say this? Isn't that true? In fact, most of the time, you feel like, was I really here? Sometimes you even look at your notes and feel, why did I miss all this? Now, obviously, also, sometimes you hear it the second time, you say, but I thought I heard this the last time. I bought a series years back, School of Faith. School of Faith, taught by Pastor Chris, born in 95. It was a 14 series set. I listened to each one 10 times in 1 week. My copy there, in 1 week. I took that series, it talked about from Joshua. I took it and I went on a retreat. And I listened to it 10 times, 14. Took night vigils, did not stay, didn't sleep. I listened to it throughout. So a friend came to me and said, I can preach that message for you. There are messages like that I can preach for you word for word. Word for word. Before I preach any sermon, I preach it first myself. So when you say, you said so or so, I said, I didn't say it. Because I heard myself first. Praise the Lord. So there's a heart to listening. So if the word is planted, you may need to hear it again and again and again and again, just like you plant things. Alright? It takes time to grow. Two, the word is light. You've got to shine it. Now, why is the word light? That shows you there will be darkness. Darkness is confusion. Darkness is evil. Darkness is ignorance. So that means the word needs to shine, you know, where there is ignorance. The word is light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. The entrance of the word given light and understanding to simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. Now, that means you're going to shine. Now, Jesus said that no man puts a bushel of light and hides it. In other words, the word shines when we shine it. That means I must allow the word to shine on my path. That's number two. Number three, we said the word is medicine. Remember that? You use medicine. No matter how effective medicine is, if you don't use it, it doesn't work. Remember years back, I think I mentioned this last time, I went to the sick bay of my school to take drugs, and they gave me drugs. Someone said, we don't call it sick bay in my school. What do you call it? Healing bay. For who? For the sick. All right, it's quick, you know. So I said, I took it. So I said, what do you give me? I said, do you have methamphetamine? He said, no. Do you have fancy? I said, no. And then, of course, the person who was administering was my senior. And you don't argue with your senior and say, I don't want. He will give you metacalfin personally that is not on the medical list. So I collected it. And I didn't like that. It was Nibaquin. I grew up with Nibaquin. Chloroquine. Camoquin. Queen. So I took the drug and I didn't use it. And I felt better. I said, but I'm okay. Relaxing fever. No relaxing fever? In the evening of that day, you're just cool. So I went to play football. I played football. No, I played volleyball. I played volleyball and I had a great time. I went for prep classes. And I was cool. Until prep class was about to be over. And I started to just taste. My taste buds were transformed to another man. So I go, but I'm okay. Well, the Nibaquin never worked because I never used it. Nibaquin was in my locker and my body was sick. Nibaquin ought to be in the body, not in the locker. If it's not in the body, it shouldn't work. So if you don't use it, Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline your head to my sayings, keep them in your health, don't pop my eyes, for they're liable to them that find him, but turn to health or flesh. Medicine now. Praise the Lord. That's why Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1:3 says day and night. So say day and night. So the prescription is day and night. Say day and night. You know, you can actually use the word day and night. Number four, the word is food. You're going to eat it. Now, of course, if it's medicine, that means it's both curative and preventive, right? Curative and preventive. Is that clear? Okay, so we said, it's also food. Food means you're going to eat it. You're going to eat it. How many of you smell food? And you're filled. You smell food, and then you rush to the toilet. And then you're filled. It's not possible. You've got to eat it first. And eating it means to meditate on the word. If you hear the word, you're tasting it. If you hear the word, it's still on the plate. Until you begin to think on the word, because both the food, both the medicine, both the light, and both the seed, they walk on the human heart. Is that clear? Is that clear? So you must know where the word is going to. Okay, we said there are three channels or three gates of the human heart. What's the first one? The eyes. The eyes, you've got to see it. You've got to see it. And oftentimes, watch this. The physical eye symbolizes the spiritual eye. In other words, you've got to see it. You've got to read it. Like this. Read it. Some folks just don't like reading. They just don't like reading. Someone said, well, you know, someone told me, I was doing a series one time on the internet, and I was teaching about giving. And I tried to mention the issue of tithing. And I think for years, people have always said that I'm against tithing. I always tell them, you're a bad listener. If you listen well, you'll get it right. And the guy said, he said, look, this thing is too long. That's what he said. He was bold. I named him in the university. So he said, and would you go straight to the point? Should we tithe or shouldn't we tithe? I said, neither. I said, because I don't have time to read all this. But he's a Roger Federer fan. And he can watch the Wimbledon final 2-3 hours. You know, he's not really serious about the word. If you're serious about the word, you know the word comes by reading. You have to read it. So say read it. The word comes also by hearing it, right? Right? And we say the hearing seems to take the preponderance or preeminence over the reading in scripture, right? Can you remember that? You know, you hear it, you hear it, you hear the word. Take heed what you hear that you hear. Matthew 4:24. It comes by here. What you guys said, you hear it. Romans 10:17. Are you still there? Last one, use by your mouth. By your mouth. Your mouth into your imagination. Your mouth in your imagination. By your mouth. By your mouth. So the key place is your heart, because these are the doors to your heart. Right? These are the doors to your heart. There's a series like that, I think, I taught in 2008. Is that it? Four important parts of the human life. Right? What's 2008? 2008. That's camp meeting. Was it camp meeting? Huh? What is it? Well, it's your service. All right. Four important parts of the human heart. That you need to... we said what? The eyes, the ear, the mouth, and the heart. And the mind. Thank you. It's been around for long. And the mind. If you can take care of those four parts, you control your life. If you can control what comes to your mind, and control what comes through your mouth, and control what you hear, and control what you see, you're actually controlling your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Someone told me, is it wrong to watch movies? I said, no. Nothing is wrong in itself. Is that clear? Is that clear? But if you tune to DSTV, and then you see SNL, that's sex, nudity, strong language. And I remember I went to see a brother, and he was watching a movie, and we were talking, like smiling. You know the story? I think I've told the story before. And I've come here, and we were all talking, sharing the word. I think Kule was there. You were there. And we were talking. They were talking. Now, they got to a scene. We were all there. Men of God. Full of the Holy Ghost. And then they were naked. And they were actually having sex. So the preacher tried to change it up. And the battery of the remote control wasn't working. So, he tried and tried and tried. You remember the story? I said, what's the title of this film? He said, Original Sin. Ah. You play Original Sin. Are you Adam? You didn't have to be told that you didn't have to watch it. So, if you control your eyes, you control your heart, you control the kind of people that are around you, you control your life. Is that clear? So, when James was talking about, now pay attention, when James said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man, James 1:19 and 20, wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. He was actually talking about your heart. It's actually in your heart that you're slow to speak and you're slow to hear. I mean, swift to hear, and then you're swift. You're not swift to be angry. It's in your heart. It's on your heart that you control how you speak. I was talking to a friend, and I said, "Look, it's every thought that's coming to you came by your permission. Are you there?" So. The next thing James says in 21, he had said, be slow to speak, swift to hear, and then slow to wrath. Then he says, lay aside what? All filthiness and naughtiness. Where are they? That's in the mind. Because you won't find filthiness and naughtiness as a package delivered to you by Father Christmas. It's something on your heart. And received it with meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save the soul. So it's in your mind, for instance, when you are listening to something, it's in your mind that you listen well. Because you can be looking at me like this, and your mind is somewhere else. Am I right? Am I right? You know, someone, I was preaching in a place, and I was preaching good. I knew I was preaching good. I was enjoying myself, I was teaching the word of the power, and I was really talking the word and explaining them. And then these two sisters came to me, and I was surprised. It was a university campus. And they said, you're looking very good. The two of them, the first one said, I like your suits. It was that cream soup. So, you know that cream soup? You know that cream soup? That cream soup is my joker now. Back then. Say, that cream soup. Say, I love your soup so much, sir. Where'd you get it? The other one said, I like the way you're talking. You talk cool. Aren't they crazy? If I wanted you to see that, how did I come to church? Keep operating. Yeah. I came to teach scripture. You can't remember what I said. You remember my suit. Can you imagine? So listen, Bishop, looking at the service. Why is your roof coming now? You're really not listening. At least it's not yet on your head. So it's on your heart. Then you need to control your emotions when you're hearing the word. Now there are two things that happen. They look like they're the same when you're hearing the word. One is an excitement. You're excited. You're excited. Oh, you're too excited. You're too excited. I'm teaching the place one time. I was teaching them the name of Jesus. And I taught them the revelation of the name. And I was teaching, that was 1996. And I was teaching them. And then the pastor ran out. He ran out of the congregation and said, yeah! You know the point, but I was still teaching. And I wondered, say, yeah, 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 yeah. See, can you? See, can you? I felt ashamed. When I saw him, and he said, look, you brought us the word. Even I told his church, see, you see that this is a meeting brought by the Holy Ghost. This is the message. This is it. He said, oh, man of God, let me tell you about your ministry. This is the kind of ministry that will bring back Jesus Christ. And he said, no. A few months after, he's carrying a bottle of glory according to the Holy Ghost. I said, that's Cain. You see Cain? See redemption in your life. See redemption in your life. He didn't listen. So, he's excited. Jesus said, in Luke's gospel, tell you, those folks came back and they rejoiced. He said, the demons are subject to us in your name. He said, behold, I give to you power, Luke 10:19, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. So nothing by enemy sought you. How is that? He said, in this, rejoice not. Because that's what they were doing. But rejoice because your names are in. Two words, which was used on the Bible of the soul, when it said they received the word and not rejoice they went, is the word carries excitement. It's an uncontrolled emotion. Excitement. Tell them. How pretty one day. A lady said, tell them. I said, that's an insult. What about you? I shouldn't tell you. One came one day. It was 95. That was in my days when I was tougher than this. I'm not a Christian. The guy said, preach it. So that's an insult. I preach it. I don't preach it. That was very, very technical in those days. But help me. So you are not ready to listen. Because you know you don't listen. You don't listen to my mouth. Like, I'm talking to you again. I said, because you listen with the way to your mind is your ear. Your ears listen. You know, one of the ways to grow is to learn to be quiet in church. What about that? To be quiet in church. I was sitting in a fellowship years back, and the guy was going, thank you, Father, for this. And I tapped him, I said, hey, Father is not done yet. Let me finish teaching, right? Before you thank Father. Because I must have made a statement he didn't listen to. And those days, we were not dubbing those things. So it's gone. That means it's sold by the wayside. By the wayside? What you can't remember, you can't understand. Is that correct? Good. So, you need to take care of that. What about joy? Joy is in your spirit, and joy comes by faith. So now we want to learn some lessons in faith. You know, we've seen how the word comes and how the word works. Now, write this down, and this is vital. How many of you believe in spiritual growth? Sorry for my simple question. Spiritual growth. How many of you know that when you're born again? Okay, let me go. Let me leave that for now. Now, watch this. Write this down. You develop faith, or you develop in faith, or you develop by faith. Now, the believer is perfect. Now, when we say the believer is perfect, some guys need to understand words. And that's why I always say this. After salvation, the greatest decision or decision you can make in your life is to stay in a local church where the word of God is taught. I know something. Now, God's granted me grace in the last few years of my life. I've been teaching the word of God in the body of Christ for some time. And I know it takes a while to understand doctrinal truth of the Bible. When I say a while, I actually mean a while. Now, some folks, they say, well, I'm perfect. I'm perfect. I'm perfect. But listen, yes, the believer is born again perfect. Colossians 2:10. Colossians 2:10 says, we are what? We are what? Complete in Him. That word complete is where you have the word pleroma in the Greek. It means you are full. That is to be fully equipped. We're complete in Him. Colossians 2:9 says, in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him. He says, you're complete. See, I'm complete. That means you have all that you need in Him. Ephesians 1:19. He said, according to the power, according to the exceeding greatness of His power, you know, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, that you may know the exceeding greatness of His power, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So He tells you, in the believer, Ephesians 3:20, unto whom that is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we also think, according to the power that works in us. So that's it. We are full of power. Say, we are full of power. Ephesians 1:3. It says, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing which is in Christ. Remember, one brother told me one time. He said, I never respond to God bless you again. I said, why? He said, because it's a curse. Now the guy was, I was his pastor. So I'm thinking, all right, I need to learn something from this church member. I said, tell me something. He said, yes, sir. You teach us that we are blessed. So if I'm blessed, I don't need to be blessed. I said, true. I said, but the Bible also says we bless God. You never heard that. He was in the fellowship for 5 months. He's now the new pastor. I said, the Bible says the doer of the word is blessed in his deed. Can you explain more to me, sir? I said, you? With everything that I've explained, you want to explain more? I said, just keep coming to church. So, when it says we are blessed, we're equipped. Now, the Bible also says we're perfect. Now, this means we're fully equipped. We're perfect. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 says the spirit of the just man made perfect. Now, that has to do with the fact that we have no sin consciousness. When Hebrews talks about perfect, Hebrews 10, 12 to 14 talks about He has perfected them forever. Now, referring to perfection, that there is no sin between you and the Father. That's, so always know when it says you're blessed, and then you're completing Him, that means you have everything that you need. And that's the same way when a child is born, and the child has no congenital challenges. So all his organs are cool. Everything is in place. Alright? That child is born perfect. But if the child is born and there's a part of the, maybe one of the liver, or one of the, one of the kidneys isn't there, then the child is not born complete. But when the child is born complete, you call it perfect, pleroma. Are you following that? Do you understand that? But the child hasn't developed. So the child is complete, but not still complete. Do you understand that? So when we say we are complete in him, the Bible says to us in Ephesians 4:11, it gave some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. You know, one guy told me something. He said, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we've been one man before. He said, hallelujah, sir. Hallelujah, sir. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So hallelujah. So, you know, sir, I just found out that there's something about my personal fellowship with God. I said, great. It is. And they tell you what you're teaching them. Pastors are in trouble. You will hear what you're teaching in a different light. He said, sir, Bible says, we have an unction from the Holy One. Hallelujah. We know all things. I say, yeah. Watch this. He said, for the anointing that we have received abides in us. We didn't let any man teach us again for the same anointing. I said, what you're saying were true, then John wouldn't have written it. Because if you needed to read that to know it, do you understand that? Hallelujah. Someone told me this morning, or this afternoon, because I put out some on Facebook, said, how do you get to answer things like this? I've been around for a while. I've heard all sorts. So these questions are not new. They're just recycled. So different generations, the same demons, you know, they just. Paul said, you have all the power, yet he's praying that you be strengthened by the Spirit in your inner man. Right? So you are complete, but you are not developed. Is that clear? Is that clear? He said, he gave some apostles, pastors, teachers, Ephesians 4:11. For what? The maturing of the saints. Maturing of the saints. This is the word teleo, which means to grow up spiritually. To mature. Maturity. That means this perfect man, he has everything. Now it's time to develop what he has. You understand that? It's time to walk in what he has. In Colossians 1:9, he says that you're complete in him. But he prays for the man who is complete in him. In Colossians 1:9, he's saying that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You may walk worthy of the Lord unto all people, being fruitful in every good work and increasing all of God. That means you are complete in him, but you need to be fruitful. Is that fair? So you need to grow. That's what he's saying. Peter says, desire is to share the milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. 2 Peter 3:18. He says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you've got to grow. So I say, grow. So that means you've got to find expression for the completeness that you have in Christ. You've got to make use of what you have in Christ. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3. He speaks about faith. And he says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. And it means because that your faith grows exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you also was each other about. Now when you say faith grows, it simply means your faith is expressed exceedingly. Just like Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the word can prevail. I don't think that the word was growing in size. And after a while, long leg, big leg. Big head, no. The word grows there means the word is growing in influence. So what you, that completeness you have in Christ begins to influence you. It begins to increase in influence. Someone listening here. Are you listening? So faith is given to you. It should find expression and it should be developed. So we're going to take a lesson from a man in the Bible by the name of Abraham, because he has been so quoted in the epistles that we're going to take a lesson from him. You know, when people talk about Abraham, and they say, Abraham. It depends on how you see Abraham. Some people teach Abraham from the point of a rich man. Some see Abraham from the point of obedience. Some see Abraham from the point of tithes. Some see Abraham from the point of someone who prayed. You know, so it depends on what you like to choose in Abraham. But I like to take Abraham as a person. Alright, are you here? Now, Abraham, his record began in Genesis 11:31. Please turn there, because we're going to look at it. Genesis 11:31. Because Abraham, his faith was so mentioned in the epistles that we need to learn something about faith through Abraham. This was Terah took... verse 29. Abraham and Nahor took them wives. Who's Abraham? 26. Abraham is Terah's son. He says the wife of Sarai in 29. And the name of Nahor, Milcah, and the daughter of Aaron, and the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. Sarah was barren, she had no child. In 31, Terah took Abraham, his son, Lot, the son of Aaron. So you see, Abraham is mentioned there. So that's the first time. Now, Abraham has 14 chapters dedicated to his walk with God. 14. From Genesis 12 to Genesis 25. That's not a short distance, is it? Is it? 14 chapters. Let me run through the chapters for you in a moment. In Genesis 12, now listen, Abraham is called by God. That's the first thing you say. God calls him. Alright? And he says, he has blessed him. God calls him, he blessed him. God gave him a revelation. Genesis 12. Then you find him go to Egypt. Alright? Genesis 12. Genesis 13, Abraham and Lot, his nephew, they had a reason where they separated. Genesis 13. Genesis 14, he went to battle. And then he met Melchizedek. Genesis 14. Genesis 15. Note this one now. Abraham doubted God. Now, look up, guys. Abraham didn't doubt God in Genesis 12 because he actually left the land. Abraham didn't doubt God in Genesis 13. He didn't doubt God in Genesis 14. But in Genesis 15, he doubted God. He said, I go childless. Said that to God. So he decided to take, and God told him, you're going to have a child. So I'm going to take Eliezer, who is my servant. I'm going to take him as my son. That's Abraham. Are you listening? Are you following? Okay, Genesis 15. Then God brought him out. And he believed God. And the Bible says he was declared righteous. Genesis 15, 6. And now, is this Genesis 15? And God called him out. He said, hey, come. He says, look at the stars. Look at the sun at the seashore. So shall thy seed be. God spoke to him. Genesis 15. Genesis 16. Abraham, who just believed God, and God calls him righteous, he takes Agar as his wife. By the way, Abraham had three wives all his life. Out of faith. Agar, then Ishmael. Genesis 16. Abraham. The Bible lets us know in Galatians 4 that Ishmael was from the flesh. Hallelujah. Is it there? Alright. So, Genesis 17. God came to him. He said, look. Be perfect. Walk before me. I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and you be perfect. Now, the thing is, when he was going after Ishmael through Agar, God was talking to him. Are you there? Okay, good. And in the end, God tells him his promise. Genesis 17. Genesis 18, angels came to Sodom. He just had Ishmael, who was in his flesh. And God told him about Sodom. He said, you're my friend. I'm thinking Sodom is going to go up the flames. And Abraham begins to pray. Genesis 18. Genesis 19, Sodom is destroyed. Lot escapes. His wife didn't. She became salt. She's still been sold. Genesis 20. Abimelech saw signs of God's power. Eli's women. Genesis 21. Isaac is born. Genesis 22. Isaac is offered. Genesis 23. Sarah is dead. Genesis 24. They go to look for Isaac's wife. Genesis 25. Abraham dies. Now, why did I take you all through that? It's to let you see something about, we're going to do a study now, and you will discover that Abraham's faith was not a singular experience. That's the mistake people make. We just read 14 chapters of the man's life. And it wasn't Abraham believed God. And that was it. Now we see, Abraham had different experiences. Different experiences in the work of faith. So we'll come back here, but let's just examine a few things first. So, and this story we just read, historically, is between 25 and 30 years. Between 25 and about 55 years of his life. Because sometimes Bible summary looks like everything happens in 5 weeks. Goes on to me, say, why can we not have the book of Acts again? I said, why do you say that? He said, the way I see miracles every time. I said, so everything happened 28 days? Acts 28. You know, we have a generation that is always trying to sprint out everything. Hallelujah. Someone told me this morning, to every sign of Jesus to come, as we fulfill. See, I know Jesus is coming quickly. So what's the sign? He said, Israel is being hunted by the world. Mention Israel. And here's a story people talk about Israel. But if you fight Israel, you lose. It's actually the fallacy of the year. Is not true. I don't want to make that easier talk because I have facts and figures to debunk it. It's a press lie. It's not true. And that's exactly why it's not true. I said, Israel lost wars in the Bible. Isn't that true? Not one war. Wars in the Bible. In the days of Jesus, Israel was under colonization. There's a Paul, same thing. So what's the new Israel after redemption? I don't get that. So, when you see people that are industrious, they are Jews. Richest men in America, they have Jewish origin. That has simple explanation. Historically. I don't have time tonight. But I've told you over the years, and I think it's just a fallacy. Israel is just another country. Is that clear? When Jesus spoke in Matthew 25:24, it has not to do with the special thing about Israel. God's people are the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I told the guy this morning, I said, well, I think you guys are just in a hurry for Jesus to come. So what the Bible says, the husbandman is patient. Whereas the husbandman's people are not patient. Yet the husbandman is patient. Say, come, Lord! So I said, come, Lord, now. I said, why? He's adding there. Said, the Ebola virus. He signed that thing. He said, there's no cure like AIDS. And this one is going to kill anybody that just looks at you as Ebola. So why is he going to come? Because he himself is fearing Ebola. Rubbish. So sometimes we think these things just happen. Pop, pop, pop. No. Things happen with time. There's something sometimes we don't know, particularly when we learn faith. It's called T-I-M-E. What's that? Time. There's something called time. A guy gets born again. Oh yeah, he starts the ministry. And he wants to know everything that should be known in 5 minutes. I told a young preacher one time, said, I want to do this, I want to do this, and he told me everything he wanted to do. And he said, by the time he is 30, we're at the university, he said, I will have rigged the wall, I will have preached every nation. I said, that means you're not going to live long. Because you have fulfilled that age 30. How would you do everything when you're 30? My daughter is asking me one time, when will she marry? I didn't know what to say. I said, you grow and grow. He said, like who? Praise the Lord. She just entered primary one. Marry? That's quite miraculous. Anyway, 25 to 55 years. Imagine. And they summarize it in how many chapters? 14. If they were going to write every detail of every day, we need like 60 Bibles for a man who lived up to 120 years. But we can rely on the commentaries, and that's what I want us to look at. Romans 4. Notice that the commentaries about Abraham dealt with specific aspects of his life. Many of them were not the same. Now, in Romans 4, you get the lesson in a moment. Paul begins to talk about how he was declared righteous. Which verse was that? Genesis what? 15:6. Now, what happened before he was declared righteous? God called him out, Genesis 12. He went to Egypt, right? Genesis 12 as well. Then he and his nephew, Genesis 13 and 14. And in Genesis 15, he wanted to get Eliezer. So, but Paul picked that because the New Testament focuses on what? Doesn't focus on your wrongs. So, Paul focused on what? He focused on the example. Not on the entire life. Are you listening? So, he says, he believed God. He was counted in Romans 4:3 for righteousness. That's Genesis 15:6. Then he comes to another place now, is circumcision. Different. By faith. Then he talks about him believing God for Isaac, verse 17 to verse 19 and 20, which is Genesis. That's a 14. Genesis 17 and then 18. How do you know Genesis now? Between when he was declared righteous and when he believed God for Isaac, historically we have almost 20 years. And he's here. He's called Abraham. God reminded him in Genesis 17 about the promise. He does a change of name.
Now, he does the change of name rather late, because that name ought to have changed in Genesis 12. Because what God said to him in Genesis 12 ought to have affected his name change. Because his name change, or his confession, was at variance. Now, his confession concerning Isaac was at variance with what God's word said. And God came again and reminded him. Now, between Genesis 12 and Genesis 18, God kept talking to him. God kept communicating to him. Now, pay attention here. Now, when James quoted him again, James in James chapter 2 now. James was quoting Genesis. Now, James quoted Genesis 15:6. He was declared righteous. Then James is quoting, in the example James gave, Genesis 23. When he offered Isaac. Are you there? So, Abraham's faith life didn't happen in a week. Abraham's faith life developed over time. Are you going to see something in a moment? Developed over time. Abraham didn't start out with all the testimonies happening at once. Let me see if you follow what I'm saying here. Are you getting this at all? Huh? So, there was time to Abraham's work. So, we can actually see. That's why Romans 4 calls it steps. We can actually see Abraham's faith life was a walk. There was time for his faith life. Notice this. Now, Hebrews 11 gives us a better chronology. Hebrews 11 is a perfect one. Very perfect one. Hebrews 11 dedicates. Now, Hebrews 11 talks more about Abraham than any other person. Hebrews 11 from verse 8 to verse 19. 12 verses. Right? 8 to 19. 12 verses. In how many verses? In 40. Not just 40, actually, because the first three were taken in 37. So he has 12 out of 37. That's a third of the faith life in the Old Testament had Abraham in there. And Abraham, therefore, becomes the example we can listen to. And Abraham's faith life was over how many years? 55 years. Hallelujah. How many years now? About 55 years. From when it was 75 to when it was about 120. 55 years of a walk of faith. And in the 55 years, there were different aspects of his life we need to look at. We're going to see that in a moment. Are you still there? Come on, guys, are you still there? Now, in Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith. Now, if you read Genesis, you won't find the word faith in there at all. So faith was an active word, an action. All right, Hebrews 11:8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should go after, what reason and intentions, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing. So by faith, he went out. So, first level of faith. Come on, are you still there? First level of faith was to obey what God said. First level of faith, what you can call salvation. So on there. Are you there? What's the level of faith? He walked. He listened to God. He moved. He's an idol worshiper. And he hears God. When Abraham believed God, that word believed God in the Hebrew means an unqualified committal. He had no evidence to rely upon. He had no history to look at. But he believed God. Now, secondly, Hebrews 11:9. He sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles of Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. He sojourned. We were in Egypt. By faith. By faith. Hebrews 10. 11:10. He looked for a city which is Hebrews 10. For verse 10. Okay, 9 and 10. Okay, 9 and 10. 11 now talks about Isaac and Sarah. Through faith also Sarah conceived strength to conceive seed. This is saying, and was delivered of a child
when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, the writer of Hebrews placed emphasis here on Sarah. Sarah. Romans 4 doesn't talk about Sarah. Hebrews 11 talks about Sarah. That means if you and someone, like your wife, your husband, your someone, you're believing God for what concerns both of you, you both have to believe God. You both have to have faith. You both have to walk by faith. Are you still there? So Abraham didn't have one kind of faith that if he doesn't believe in, the wife just says, you know you believe God? Let me just say hand out. Abraham didn't have kind of faith. And you shouldn't have too. So Genesis 17:18, Isaac's conception. Abraham walked by faith. He left his father's land by faith. Everything God told him, he walked by faith. He wanted to have a child. They received the child by faith. Now, in Hebrews 11, from verse 12 down to verse 16, is his revelation of Jesus, the longest one. Where is Jesus? John 8:56. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. More chapters were dedicated on Abraham seeing the new covenant, seeing redemption, than all the other independent actions. So Abraham seeing what Jesus was going to do had more chapters committed to that. Verse 12 to verse 16. Are you still there? Are you still there? Now, verse 17. By faith, that's Genesis 23. Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, for he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Did you observe that God took him through different levels of faith? The hardest thing Abraham did was to offer his son. That was a culmination of redemption. You know what? No, Isaac's birth is the incarnation. Isaac's offering is redemption. But God took him through different levels of faith. Even when he was doubting, and he wanted Eliezer, that wasn't strange, because the man was being developed in faith. His faith was of God, but his faith wasn't perfect. He was growing. So when he was going to offer Isaac, he could do it. In fact, the Bible says, if you notice how he spoke when he was going to offer Isaac, is because he had had experiences of the faith life. Because one faith step gives you confidence for another one. So he says, God said, you take your son, your only son. Abraham didn't do much. He didn't do much meditation. He takes Isaac. Bible says he knew God was going to raise him from the dead. Why? Because God said him through Isaac, she shall be called. So he was accustomed with the revelation. He was accustomed with the word. He goes there, and his father says, what are you going to do? He said, well, now Abraham is talking as a matured man. He's a matured Christian now. Amen. He says, we, me, the lad, we're going to worship God. Genesis 23. I will come back. It is I will. He said, we will come back to you. He's talking by revelation, by experience. He goes in, then everybody, assuming you're scoping everybody, you can't scope the boy. He says, hey, Dad, I see everything set. The knife, sharp enough. The wood, good enough. And then they brought the offering. So where is the offering? That's quite a boy. Because I don't know what I would have done. If we get to talk Mamre, and then Dad says, God's going to provide a lamb. Why didn't you bring the lamb along? We should have brought the lamb along. Hey, Dad, you say I should lie down? You're going to tie me down? God's going to bring a lamb? Hey, Dad, I'm sorry. But I also kept an eye. But Abraham spoke by revelation. Obviously, Isaac believed him. Isaac knew that he walked with God. He knew God. He was now what you call a well-developed Christian. He says, he will provide a lamb for us. Hallelujah. Now look at how Hebrews 11 describes them. By faith, when Abraham, when he was tried. Now, you never find him being tried when he was going to have Isaac. But he's tried when he's going to give Isaac. The word tried means tested. What's he testing? He's testing the faith that I've developed over the years. Are you listening? Are you listening, guys? It's testing the faith. And that's why James says, faith without corresponding action is inoperative. Are you still there? So, can you see that Abraham's faith developed? Let me see how you saw it. Can you see it? It developed over time. Allow faith to develop over time. Now, let me tell you the other side now. Did you also discover that there will be areas where Abraham uses faith and there were areas he didn't use his faith? So, he had areas he used his faith. He had areas he didn't use his faith. So, you can have areas of your life you're not using your faith. You have some areas you're using your faith, you're doing good. But the areas of your life you're not using your faith. So, notice something. Is faith developed over different phases? Many times, we believe God. We know we have the faith of God. But, we don't want the faith to develop. Faith will develop with tests and trials. Faith will develop with contrary circumstances. And so, whilst we wondering, oh my God, this is taking time, faith is developing. It's getting stronger. It takes time for faith to develop. Say it takes time. See, like I say, it takes time for faith to develop. That's why faith is a walk. He said, we run by faith. Then we walk by faith. We walk by faith. Now, notice something again. You just write it. Notice that Abraham kept hearing God. That is, between Genesis 12 to 23, God kept talking to him. In other words, today, that means I need to keep feeding on the word. There's nothing like what I know. I need to keep feeding on the word. That, you know, God only expanded what he said once. In other words, as I keep feeding on the word, I'll get more understanding of what I used to know. So faith doesn't feed, listen now, faith doesn't feed or grow or develop with what I used to know. Faith develops with what I'm consistently exposing my mind to. How many of you know you cannot say, I've given birth to a child now. I say, well, because I want you to live long and stay strong. Child is complete. I want you to live long and stay strong for the rest of your life. I want you to be 100 years old. So you order for 66 sheaves of food. Rice, meat, oh, no, no. I will give you all the food at once. The child dies. Food kills. Ah, We also know he will take some food. He will exercise. He will exercise his strength, his muscles, his organs will work. Then he'll take more food. So growth is not just taking food. It's also what? Exercise. So hearing the word becomes only useful when I'm walking in the word. Someone listen to what I'm saying here. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you like, run to Mount Moriah tomorrow. Say, I want to go for a personal retreat. You take all the CDs you know, all the Bible translations you have, and you go there for 2 weeks. Watch now. 2 weeks. Now, I am ready for the next 20 years of my life. So, next day, you go to the movie store and you buy 60 videos. Since you have already 2 weeks of the word, 60 videos, just 2 weeks. What's going to happen? In what you're listening to presently, that's going to influence you. You hear that? You hear that? It's what you're listening to presently that's going to influence you. If you take good food on Monday, kind of food your mom cooks for you, and you say, Mommy, you are the best mother in the world. Or your wife cooks for you and say, you are the most beautiful woman. In fact, Eve looks at you, she thinks you're Eve. And you're excited. Then on Tuesday, you eat poison. Thank you, darling. You eat poison. Food cooked with the speed or the speed of a frog. And the urine of a monkey. And all the stuff. You say, it won't do me any harm. I had good food yesterday. Even if I eat poison today, I'll be well. Well, you're going to die. Because you're going to keep taking what? Good food. So, have a safe walk. I will need to keep hearing the word. For how long? Abraham heard God till he died. The faith walk is till the last day of your life. Someone out there? Are you there? So just like when you eat food, you exercise yourself. When you eat food, you exercise yourself spiritually. You need to keep feeding on God's word. Abraham acted on God's word. And God didn't stop speaking with him. God kept talking to him even when Abraham was wrong. So even if I miss it, someone says, I can't move my bed. I said, I didn't just have headache, I had all aches. I couldn't even move my bed. Somebody told me one time. Then I was a very tough preacher then. He said, sir! I'm so sick. I think I'm going to die. I said, go ahead. What am I doing here? This sickness is going to kill me. I said, do it quickly. Why are you calling me? To come and see you die? He said, no. He said, no. I will be bad. They said, I will be what? I've said all my confessions. I said the word. I said, you know, you are not saying the word now. You are only saying, I said the word. I'm eating. I am not here. But what did you just say, lad? I'm going to die. That's the one that will walk. That's the one that is presently walking. So I need to keep. Can I go ahead? Yes, sir. I need to keep hearing God's word. I'm right there. I've spoken there. I think the sickness is going higher. Oh God. And some of us will think the minute I take drugs. Thank you, Jesus. You're being silly. Your faith isn't developed. Assuming, you know, at the point you've been believing God for healing, you had to use drugs. Don't take the drug. And he said, thank you, Lord. You don't want to develop. If you want to develop just like Abraham, you keep hearing the word. You keep hearing the word. You keep hearing the word. So that the next time, you might not need to take the drug. Hallelujah. So, if you miss a step in faith, you get back in faith. You know, just see yourself as developing in faith. Let me see how you're following me. Are you following this? You following this? So, faith is a walk. Say, faith is a walk. Now, so you keep feeding on the word. You cannot depend on what you used to eat. What you used to eat. You know, how many of you led home for a while? You were in the boarding house. Your mom fed you so well. She sees you on a visiting day. Maybe she's out of the country. She comes back, maybe toward the end of the term, visiting day. She says, huh? She doesn't say, what? She doesn't say, did you eat the food I gave you 3 months ago? She says, have you not been eating now? So it's not what I used to feed on. Is what I'm still feeding on right now. Are you listening now? Are you listening? So, faith develops by keeping to hear the word. I keep hearing the word. Now let's go. Hebrews 6:12 now talks about faith and patience. Okay. Through faith, all them who through faith inherit the promises. Faith and patience. The word patience means consistency. Now I'm going to close on that. There are two examples Jesus gave. Blind Bartimaeus, he kept calling out. He kept calling out. He kept talking till Jesus responded. The Syrophoenician woman kept talking till Jesus answered her. And Jesus called that faith. Jesus calls persistence and, watch this now, and consistency faith. Many of us are close. Many of us hardly know that faith is consistent. You just want to go, oh yes, I believe I receive in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There was a church I went to. I don't know what happened. And everybody in the church would say amen. I thought it was a mistake. Until someone else came and grabbed the mic after the pastor, say, amen, amen. Influence got me very strong. Amen. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. So, you said, in Jesus' name, amen, hallelujah, glory, in church, say, glory, glory, thank you, Jesus. I win in life all the time, hallelujah. I overcome all the time, hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. And get to the parking lot. Just out there. Yay! And no faith. Yay, yay, yay! I don't even know how my life is going again. Everything has scattered. What you just said is what you just ate. You gotta be consistent. Is that there? You gotta be consistent. It's in the consistency, therein lies the power. The woman kept at it. She kept at it. Just like spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not hearing God's word once. I told you a lady told me, she said, Pastor, with all you have taught me, ha ha. I met her, and I think she just heard the word for a few months. With all you've taught me, she said, if I don't hear the word for, I think she said 6 years or 7 years, say I'm strong in ministry. Now, I'm telling you sincerely, ever since I got saved and I began to learn to walk with the Lord, I never took that kind of risk before. When she said that, I was surprised. But somehow, because our words catch up with us, she actually left the ministry about 6 months after. She said, She went down. Scripture. Because of what she said. Amen. Because of what she said. Praise the Lord. It's not possible. You can't feed 6 months and live 60 years. You feed every day to live every day. Amen. So it's a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. I keep developing. I keep developing. I grow in perfection. I get better and better in my walk by faith. I'm consistent. I'm persistent. Faith develops over time on different issues, different aspects of my life. I walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and bless the Lord. It's a walk of faith.